Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Okay, we've been looking at the second canto's explanation of the Purusha Sukta, and particularly focus has been just now on the three words, Marjam, Anam, and Kshemam. No, I'm sorry, not Marjam. Amritam, Avayam, and Kshemam, which are qualities of the Supreme Absolute Truth and also qualities of His abode. They're metaphorically identified with the abode because those qualities are found in that abode. Okay, 77.6. Tadevam amartyam aishwaryam tripat martyam ekapat iti tasya chatushpad aishwaryam punar vivinoti. In this way, the immortal opulence, the amartya, is the three quarters part, and the mortal is the one quarter. How he thus possesses fourfold opulence is further expounded. Well, 3 plus 1 is 4. 4 quarters. And second canto, 6th chapter, continues explaining. Padeshu sarva bhutani pumsak stitipado viduhu amritam kshemam abhayam trimurdnotayi murdasu. Those who know understand that within the four quarters opulence, within whom is located every possible situation of life, all creatures find their places. Deathlessness, well-being, and freedom from anxiety, he has located in the topmost regions of his three higher quarters. That's what the verse says. Everything is found in the four quarters, but Amrita, Kshemam, and Abhayam are placed on the top of, on his head, in the three-quarter portion. Okay, now, I'm curious about the translation, why it says within whom, because it's the opulence. Why is the opulence being called whom? And let me just quickly, do you have the verse number for this?
Yes, 2619.
Let me check if that's Prabhupada's translation. 2-6 what?
19.
Okay. No. Okay, it's not Prabhupada's. I modified the translation, so let's change whose to which. Within which. Okay. Got it. Right. Now, Jiva Goswami explains this verse. Tishyam tiyatra sarva bhutani iti stitayo marjyadi aishwaryani tani pada iv adishtana bhutani yasya tasya stiti pada padeshu chaturish veva. Situations, stiti, because the phrase stiti pada, now that would be, I think, shashti ekavachanam. Pada becomes pad, optionally, before the yadus. Yadushuva. Pad, right before yadus. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so here it's pad. It's nas. It's the shashti egovachanam. Padaha. Stiti padaha. Well, anyway, what does that mean? Situations or stiti are where all creations are located. The opulences of the realms of mortals and others. These situations, stitis, situations, are, so to speak, locations, pada, sthana, like the quadrants of a plane. Okay, so to speak, this is not a literal map, otherwise the material world would be 25% as big as Vaikuntha. It's not. Material world's finite, Vaikuntha is infinite. Nothing finite can be 25% of infinity. But it's just a model. The situations are, so to speak, locations. We're not mapping exactly the locations according to a certain, what do you call it, scale. Yeah. But they're, so to speak, locations, something like the quadrants of a plane, you know, a surface. Tasya sthiti padeshu chaturasheva aishvarya bhageshu sarvabhutani parshada paryanti. Within the four quarters, that's all of them, the portions of opulence of him, who is called Stintipada because these locations of the situations belong to him. He's the one who has the Stintipadas, the Bahurihi. Those places of different situations belong to him, so he's called Stintipada, the man with a lot of Stintipadas. He's called Stintipada because these locations of the situations belong to him. Now, within the four quarters of him are all creatures. I'm changing the punctuation, changing a comma to a dash, because it's more readable. Hold on a second. Okay. Up to all creatures are found in these different locations of different situations, up to the Lord's personal associates. Everybody, including the Lord's personal associates. Padan darshayati. The word is pada. Here it's the full form of the word because padan is a Krishnastana. It's not a yadu, right? It's a strong form. So it's not pad, but pada. Padan. Trayanam satvikadi padartanam. Murdeva, Murda Prakritis, Tasya Murdasu, Tarupari Virajamaneshu, Sri Vaikuntha Lokeshu, Amritam Kshemam, Abhayam Chadai, Nityam Dritam Evatishyat Yityartaha. Now, what is this Tri Murdno Dai Murdasu? A Dai. I think that's a passive form of the mutation.
This is potential
karmity prayoga. Karmity prayoga. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's passive. Is held. Was held. Passive. But mutation. But sometimes mutation is used to describe, especially in the Vedic language, to describe permanent situations, not just past. Now, these three things are held on the heads, plural, of the person who has three heads. What does that mean? Those three qualities are placed on the heads of the one who has three heads. Meaning, I'm reading the English. The head, Murda, is material nature. Why is material nature the head? Which serves as the head of the three varieties of things and the mode of goodness and so on. It's like a head, it's not literally a head. But material nature is the ultimate element of material existence. So it's called the head. On her heads, plural, now what does on her heads mean? That means that she's the head of material creation, but there's something above her. On her heads means in the worlds of Sri Vaikuntha, which are present above her. There are placed immortality, well-being, and fearlessness, which it is implied, are held there perpetually. Now, adai is putation. It's In this sense, it means that they always were there. They always will be there, permanently. Just like, well, no, that's a different thing. Okay. Okay, anyway, that's that strange phrase. The Amrita Kshema and Abhayama are placed on the heads of the one who has three heads. Material nature has three heads, Sattva, Guna, and Rajas. Above her are the higher heads, the realms of Vaikuntha, where Amrita Kshema and Abhayama are found. Tatat purvasya martyana matratmakatvad ekapat tvam utarasya amritadi trayatmakatvad tripa tvam iti bhavaha. Okay. Thus the idea is that the first is the single quarter. What was mentioned first? I'm going to say the first mentioned, is the single quarter because it consists only of mortal food. You can say everything in the material world is the same thing, it's all food. Everybody's eating each other, one another. Everybody's food for somebody else. In fact, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, at the very end, the Rishi is exalting. He's in ecstasy saying, aham anam, aham anam, I am food, I am food. That's but mortal food. Immortal food means you're giving pleasure to Krishna. That you're the food for Krishna's pleasure. But mortal food means that someone's going to have you for lunch. That you're literally going to be eaten by somebody. We're all eaten by death, even if we don't manage to get swallowed by another animal. We're swallowed by death. Anyway, the first mentioned, the pada that's mentioned first, is the single quarter because it consists only of mortal food, martyam anam, which was mentioned first. And the latter mentioned is the three quarters, because it consists of immortality and so on. There's the three quarters. Immortality, fearlessness, and well-being. Those are the three qualities of the spiritual realm. Okay. Tad anena padosya vishwa bhutani tripada samvitam divi iti asyarto darshita. That's actually the Rig Veda there. The actual verse from the Purusha Sutta. Padosya vishwa bhutani tripadasyamitam divi. That's what Suta Goswami is paraphrasing in this verse we're reading here from the sixth chapter of the second canto about the three padas, the one pada and the three padas. So, thus, this explains the meanings of the words from the Purusha Sutta. He has his one quarter, and his three quarters of immortality are in Divi, in the sky, or in the spiritual sky. Together, these comprise all beings. Padosya Vishwa Bhutani. Vishwa here means all creatures. Some are in the one pada, some are in the three padas. But take all four padas together, that includes everybody, everything. Atra adishtana adishteya yor aikyoktihi. In this context, the location and the located are being described as if they were the same. Because it's said that the pada is Amrita Abhaya Kshema. Well, not really. They're being identified with the three padas. Actually, they're the qualities to be found in the Vaikuntha realm. But taking the liberty of metaphorically or poetically identifying the place and the qualities that are found in that place. The verse, the Purusha Sukta speaking like this. Okay, let's see what the commentary says. The totality of four quarters, expanding from the Supreme Lord, encompasses all living beings, including the Lord's personal companions and servants in the spiritual world. All the quarters together incorporate the realms of mortals and immortals. They are poetically called padas, feet. Okay, now we're translating pada as feet. But they are actually different situations of life. Also described are four metaphorical heads. Only got heads and feet, feet and heads. There are four metaphorical heads. One being material nature, the other three being the controlling lords of the Vaikuntha planets. In any living being, the head controls the feet. Within the body of the one quarter expansion, only mortal food is the substance. But the body of the three quarters is immortal, fearless, and perfectly secure. I don't know about those controlling lords. I don't know where I got that from. Then the question is going to be, who are these controlling lords? And I don't even know where I get this from. I'm putting a question mark. Okay. In the Purusha Sukta, the phrase Asya Divi, it's not just in the sky, but in his sky. Asya Divi. You could take it to be Asya Pada, his feet, but here we're reading it as his sky. That is refers to Vaikuntha, his sky, the sky belonging to Lord Narayan. All created beings are equated there with the Purusha's one foot, created beings, and the immortal life of Vaikuntha to his other three feet. This is more use of metaphor, poetically ignoring the distinction between the qualities and their location. The person who possesses them. What? Oh, okay. The location is the person. The person has personal qualities. His qualities are located in him. In this, however, no harm is done to the correct philosophical understanding, since the creation is non-different from its creator. Because it's being described as his feet. So poetically, it's part of his body. It's him, poetically. His head, his feet. So actually, this is what's really being described is the world that the Lord lives in, the spiritual world and the material world that he creates. Those places are what we're actually describing. But we're talking about it as if it was him or parts of his body. That's poetic. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
In the comment there, regarding the controlling lords, it starts also describe our four metaphorical heads, one being material nature, and the other three, I think the
being without an S.
Being. Yeah. Maybe that kind of led to a plural idea.
Well, there are three of them still.
Yeah.
Because being is plural form of the verb. There are three which are the controlling lords. The other three feet.
Yeah, but
I don't know why it's controlling lords.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember what I meant when I said that. I'll probably just take it out.
I wanted to ask, yeah. If it's not according to scale, what is actually gained by quantifying the spiritual world?
Well, it's a kind of scale, but it's not It's a kind of Cartesian space. You can understand it in two dimensions, but of the four quadrants, one of them is finite and the other ones go on forever. You can visualize such a thing. You know, a plane that starts and there's one little corner here and the other three sides just go on forever. To show that here's this material world, it's connected to the spiritual world, but the material world is infinite, tesimal, compared to the infinite spiritual world. And there's not only more of the spiritual world, but there are more, it's more richly endowed with qualities than the material world. Material world is only one pada. It only has, you know, mortal food. Whereas the spiritual world has got these infinite varieties under three main heads of Amritam, Kshemam, and Abhayam. It's a much richer life, not just more of it, not just live forever, but the quality of life is infinitely greater. That's indicated by this.
It's 3 times better.
Yeah, 3 means infinite.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the other question is, if the Purusha has one Pada is like the material world, or the Pada is the spiritual world, where is the Purusha exactly? I mean, I can just say everything, but I'm just wondering if there's more.
Well, the Purusha as the Purusha, Mahavishnu, is in the material world. But he's alter ego of the Lord who lives, Lord Narayan, who lives in the spiritual world. He's the manifestation of Narayan in the material world, as the Purusha. Yeah. This is specifically Garbhadakshay Vishnu who's being worshipped in the Purusha Sukta. Garbhadakshay Vishnu.
So these are his abodes, but he's included in the...
Well, it's his abodes because he is Narayan. He's not a separate person. So we can say that they're his abodes, but they're his abodes in a different appearance. Okay. Just like, you know, the same person could be Henry IV of England and Henry III of Prussia or something. You know, he's got a different name in a different place, but he's the same person. Now, moving on. Atta chatushpatve trilogi vyavastavat pakshantaram darshayati. Next is presented an alternative explanation of there being 4 feet in terms of the arrangement of 3 worlds. We're talking about the verse. Sutta Goswami is talking about 4 feet, but 4 feet add up to 3 realms. Oh, okay, because now we're talking about inside the material world. There's a whole different interpretation. But that's, Sutta Goswami is doing that here. He, after saying all this, then he, is it 32? Oh, to go down. Yeah, Bhagavatam 2.6.20, it's the next verse of Sutta Goswami. He talks about the 4 padas in different terms, a different explanation. He says, padas trayomahis chasam aprajanam ya ashrama antas trilokyas tvaparo grihamedo bihadvrataha. Rather than see this as a rival interpretation, that one has to be right and the other one wrong, let's say we talk about four quarters of total existence, but you can also divide up the material existence into 4 feet. It's just a reflection of the bigger reality in the material world. So you have 4 padas in the material world. The verse says, in the outer realm have been arranged in 3 quarters, the shelters of those who do not beget offspring. Within the 3 worlds, however, is another quarter, which is for householders, those who do not take the great vow. So here are the 3 worlds, the 3 quarters are the bad part. No. I see. The 3 quarters are the higher realms, the shelters of those who do not beget offspring. And the 1 quarter is the 3 worlds, Bhuvavar Swar. which is for householders, who do not take the great vow. Now, this is apparent contradiction. We were talking about the three quarters as being in the spiritual sky. Now we're talking about three quarters in the material world. So understand what Sutta Goswami is doing. He's just giving a different analysis, you know, dividing up the material world into four parts. Okay. Cha shabda ukta samuchayar daha. Well, padas trayobhis cha. And what's the word cha doing there? The word cha and here indicates combination of things mentioned, or combination of two different interpretations. This is one way to look at it, and also you can look at it this way. There are, okay, prapanchad bahi padas treya asaneva prapanchatmakasya tatuirta padas eva vivaga vivakshaya two trilokya bahish chanye padas treya asan ityeva mantrepi hitataiva punaha shabdaha. There are three quarters outside the material creation, and there have been described with the words, in the outer realm have been arranged the three quarters. To specifically contrast them from the separate division, which is the fourth quarter, comprising the material creation. Okay. In the Shruti mantra, the word punaha, furthermore, that means in the Purusha Sukta, padosya, what is it? Etavana eva mahima. No. Anyway, puna is there in the Purusha Sukta. Oh, Rig Veda 1094. Let me find it. Hold on. Sam. 1094? 1094. Tri par urdva udait purusha paros ye abhavat punaha tato vishvam vyakramat sashananashane ube abhi. That's the Purusha Sukta verse. The three feet above, the Purusha extended to that. And his foot here below, there was this foot here below also, punaha. In the Shruti mantra, the word punaha furthermore has similarly been used. What are these three quarters? They are the shelters, the achievable worlds. Take he, aprajanam bhamachari vanasta yatinam. Ashrama prapya ye loka. Ata eva dharma treya prapya tuat chaturnan api tripa tvam. What are these three worlds, quarters? They are the shelters, the achievable worlds, for those who are not to be born again. The brahmacharis, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. There's three quarters. Three divisions for three different kinds of people. And thus, because they are attainable by the religious principles of these three orders of life, these worlds, although there are four of them, comprise three quarters, because there's four worlds. Mohar, Jana, Tapas, and Satyas. But there's three kinds of people who inhabit those worlds. Brahmacharis, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasi. So it's called three quarters. The other four quarters However, it is within the three worlds. Aparas iti chaturtakpada trilokya antar iti grihamedas tatprapyaha yasman abrihadvrto brahmachari brahmacharya rahita iti. The other, the fourth quarter, however, is within the three worlds, bhubavar swar, and thus it is for householders. It's attainable by them, because it does not involve the great vow. Celibacy, in other words, is absent there. Now, looks like we have both interpretations here, the way I translate it. Yeah, the first half of the verse is still giving the original interpretation that the three paradas are outside the material world. No. This is all about the material world. We're talking about the higher planets above Swargaloka are outside. They're outside the three worlds. See, this is my problem here. I have my sentence here that says there are three quarters outside the material creation. That outside the material creation doesn't make sense here. Because, let me see. Krishna, excuse me for the confusion. Yeah, because it says prapanchad bahi. That means outside the material creation. Let me just put a big question mark there. And rather than waste your time figuring it out right now, that seems to be the other interpretation, that the three quarters are the spiritual world. But here we're talking about three quarters being the material world. I'll have to figure it out. Okay. Anyway, both interpretations are there, but it seems like Jiva Goswami is talking about both of them at the same time. Let's see if the commentary explains this. Viewed in another way, the Purusha's four padas can be identified within the material realm. Some few inhabitants of this realm of death are exempt from repeatedly dying like everyone else. Okay? But means that some people who are living in the material world only have to die once. They live as long as the world continues. Then they die. But the rest of us have to die repeatedly. According to Lord Brahma, these are those who avoid sex. Successful practitioners of the great vow, Brihadvrata, of lifelong celibacy, will pass on their next and perhaps last death through the effulgent globe of the sun to arrive at the upper worlds of advanced sages. As the combining word cha and indicates, these four planetary systems comprise a unified realm of relative perfection. Relative perfection. Although there are four planets, they are counted as three quarters because the three orders of celibate life, the brahmacharis, vanaprastas, and sannyasis, attain them by performing their respective duties. Okay, it was not really last life, it's next to last life. You die and go to a tapo loka, you still have to die there. So I'm going to fix that. All right. Recounting the original message of the Purusha Sukta, Lord Brahma contrasts the four higher worlds with the three lower. In the original, this contrast is expressed by the word punaha. Punaha, on the other hand. Tripad Urdva Udait Purusha Pados Yeyabhavat Punaha Tato Vishram Vyakramat Sashanana Shaneyabhi. The Purusha expands upward through his three-quarter expansion. And in this realm, there is, moreover, his single quarter. He thus pervades and transcends everything, both what subsists by food and what does not need to. Yeah, that seems to go back to the original interpretation, that the three padas are the spiritual world. Okay. But Jiva Goswami says Punaha is talking about in the material world. Oh boy. Anyway. About that. That's okay. Anyway, a little bit of confusion there. Just the two interpretations are a little mixed up in the way I presented it. But we can understand that the same Purusha Sukta passage, talking about 1 foot and 3 feet, can be understood as talking about the difference between the spiritual and the material world, and the difference within the material world between the places where celibates live and where those who are not completely celibate and have to die repeatedly. Okay. Any questions? Yes?
In the world, you claim that you have deity words for those who keep it celibate, and then the spiritual world, and the things that are the classes.
No, but celibacy is not in itself complete qualification for liberation. By being celibate, you're guaranteed elevation beyond Swargaloka, but you can, you know, you don't leave the material world completely until you get more qualification. If we're talking about the realms of those who are celibate, that's not Vaikuntha necessarily. That's not adequate qualification to go to Vaikuntha. Why which? That I'm not sure. Yeah. Maybe I'm translating the wrong word prapancha wrong here. Maybe by prapancha he means just the three lower worlds. But that's unusual use of the word prapancha. Usually it means the whole material creation. And maybe that's my confusion, is that he doesn't mean prapancha to be the whole material creation. Just part of it. Maybe.
Because if you look at the original verse of the Purusha Sutta,
It does. I see what he's doing here. He's saying that we have this original division of three-quarter spiritual world, one-quarter material world. And he repeats that here, the first line of this verse. And then, when he wants to take this fourth pada, the single pada, and explain its subdivisions, then Śrīla Gosvāmī continues to say, Trīlokā bahiścha. I see. It's like two different statements, the way Śrīla Gosvāmī is reading it here. There are three padas outside. And then second statement. And there's also another three, which are the ashrams of the Aprajas.
Oh, okay.
It's like two separate statements. That's actually what the explanation is saying. There are these three padas we already talked about, the spiritual world. But there's also it's a little hard to see that split up into two different statements. Anyway, I still have to puzzle over this.
Maybe because if you have chakra, you can imply that
that's what I have. Yeah, chakra can imply that you have two different sentences.
Chakra, dharak, slam, and then aprajana, yeah, ashramaha. There's
another three inside the world.
There are shelter for those who are keeping safe, but then one more is...
And then antas trilokyas can go with the second line.
Yeah.
There are also the ashramas inside the three worlds. No, that's three worlds. That's Purvavarsva. Anyway, I have to look further at this, maybe look at the commentaries and see if the commentators help us figure this out. Yes? Which?
Last line.
Padas Trayopahis Chasa?
Yes, yes. It says...
No, I'm sorry, that's not Vedic Veda. Yeah.
This three padas is in the commentary. A Veda commentary. That's not...
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, it says both what it says by food and what does it mean to, and the word not is missing maybe in your
padas. Oh, okay. I have both what subsists by food and what does not need to. Not is missing. Thank you. Okay, I put a not.
I was just wondering about the translation. It says that in the verse, in the translation, it says in the upper realm.
We're going back to the translation?
Yeah, in the upper realm.
Yeah.
The upper realm has been arranged the three quarters, the shadows of those. Okay, those do not beget offspring, but later on,
Two different ways of reading it.
I see. Okay, so just...
Well, because we are connecting this with celibacy, Prahadvata.
Okay.
You know, the ones who are Apraja are one category. The opposite category are the Abrihadvatas. So that is talking about whether you're having children or not.
It's just
implied. It seems to be, it means both, you know, because they're equivalent. If you don't have any children, you're not going to be born again. This is what it's purporting to mean to say. Where do I say who are not to be born again? Who do not...
Later in the translation... Those who are not to be born again, the Brahmacharyas and the Prasthas.
Yeah, okay. Okay, it's confusing because it's two different mm-hmm. translations of the same phrase.
Yeah.
I see. This is just, all Jiva Goswami says is, Jiva Goswami just says aprajana. Okay, well, I can translate the same way. Those who do not beget offspring. Oh boy. Yeah, it's the same phrase. Why translate it two different ways? Okay, those do not. Okay, I'll change who are not to be born again to those who do not beget offspring.
Maybe
okay.
It could be explained, but just for...
Yeah, but it's like an unnecessary complication.
Okay.
Just translate the same phrase the same way, second time it comes up. Yeah, and in fact, it's technically wrong. They do have to die one more time. But, you know, at least they have to die at the end of the universe. Even if they live in Satyaloka till the end, they still have to die. So that was even technically wrong. In fact, that's a comment I made. Did I quote it? It says, I'd say they don't have to be born. Oh, wait, it said here. Where do we say that their last life? Oh, see, this is my comment, that they'll pass on to their next and perhaps last death. But actually, if you go to say, Satyaloka, you still have to be born, die one more time. So technically, you're not Apraja. You are doomed to die again, even going there. Okay, yes.
One of the issues, you mentioned the last sentence of the Sanskrit, Sikriha Mietas, yeah. So, Sikriha Mietas means those who are very much engaged in sex life.
It doesn't literally mean that. I know Prabhupada tells us, but that's a poetic interpretation. It doesn't mean that in the dictionary. Grihameda or Grihamedi is not originally a derogatory term. It just means, Medas means yajna, is someone who performs sacrifice. Or especially animal sacrifice, because Medas is fat. No, I'm sorry, Medas is brain tissue. So one is offering an animal sacrifice in his house is a great Vedas, the former of sacrifice. Yes?
Okay, I think the explanation of the Vihanyatna and Vihasa. Vihasa was explained one who just stays at the house, but his consciousness is not at the house. So his consciousness is aimed to the higher.
Yes.
But Vihanyatna and Vedas, they can also, like, Bhakti Vedasam or Sumedasam, that can mean intelligence.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, one's attached, or in other words, it was attached to the house. Yes. Anyway, here, Śrīla Gosvāmī is using Grihameda in an unfavorable context. The Grihamedas, they're also abhidhavrata, and they're trapped. So it's shining a bad light on the Grihamedas here, too. Okay.
Then the natural question arrives, the set of all kikhasas, those who are just living in the household, but what is their destination?
If they're following celibacy, then okay. But, you know, the point here is controlling your sex, not what clothes you're wearing.
But what about the people or some?
Well, okay.
Krishna.
No, this is 90 Sviti Partajana on Yogi Mu Yuti Kastana. One is actually a yogi, doesn't have to worry about these material considerations. You know, leaving at this time or that time, dark or fortnight or whatever. And it doesn't matter what world he's in, he'll go back to Krishna no matter what position he's in, if he's a pure devotee. Yes.
I have just an editorial question. It's not too long.
Yes.
I'm wondering if the verse says in the Shruti Mantra, so many times texts are italicized, and here it's just in Roman.
The word Shruti Mantra?
Yeah, what is
the saying? Problem is that we have a rule in the BBT. It hasn't always been a rule, but the last 20 years it's been a rule that we don't use italics when we have bold. No bold italic. That's the problem. So what we have to do is leave the words Roman, and if it's confusing, put quote marks around them. If we're referring to a word as a word, we put quote marks around it. Or if the word, you know, would be misread without quote marks, we put them. Otherwise, we're not allowed to use italics in the bold. I don't like it, but that rule was made. Okay, we can move on. Last paragraph of this. No, we're over time. Okay, we'll stop here. On Sunday, we'll finish this up and continue into the next lecture. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.
Oh, 1 second.